for his big gold chain hanging. How are you guys doing tonight? Huh? Those guys did a great job tonight, didn't they? It's always nice just sitting back listening to them. So, storms of life, that's what we're talking about. Over the last 3 weeks, this will be the fourth, and next week I'm going to finish up. The reason I started all this, in part, was because of what happened September 11th. But as you can tell, in the world that you and I live in, every day something's changing. There's some new challenge, some new obstacle, some new thing that you're going to have to face. And I shared with you just a few weeks ago that you may not personally have gone through what you would consider at this point in your life a major storm of life. Maybe you've gone through, excuse me, a seasonal rain. Maybe you've gone through a little snow showers. But as time goes by and the longer you live, the more you're going to discover that difficulties come to everyone. They come in the most unexpected ways. They might be financial. They might be relational. They might be an unexpected job loss, which I know a number of people are going through right now. We have a young man here that I met the first night I was talking about this, whose uncle was killed in the Pentagon when the airplane crashed into it. The fortunate thing, in fact, the marvelous thing about it is that, number one, he knew Christ, and number two, he had led this young man to Christ just a month earlier. God has a way of working in our lives at just the right time and of trying to reach down and get our attention. And often he does that through the circumstances that he allows and brings into our life. I find for me personally that one of the most comforting things about life and dealing with the storms of life is when I know I have a place to go that's safe. Have you ever been in a storm, in a really bad storm, and you at least had somewhere to run to? Maybe you were in a storm that you didn't have any place to go to. About 18 years ago, I was driving my wife, my mother, my two brothers, and my two small children. We were all crammed into a Chevy Monte Carlo. And we're driving from Ames, Iowa, to Dallas, Texas. And it's right around Christmas time. My brother's getting married. So I get off work and I come home. Little trailer I lived in, my brothers were there, my mother was there. Everything was ready to go, but it had started to snow. And the weather report said that things were going to be bad. So we sat down in the living room and I said, look, I can't be the one to decide whether or not we do not go on this trip, because if we don't leave soon, we just won't make it to the wedding. There'll be no way we can get there in time. So we have to decide in the next 30 minutes whether or not we want to risk it and make this trip. So everyone kind of voted and we talked about it. Everybody decided we want to go. So we got in the car. I wasn't even out of town. We already had a flat tire. It was Christmas Eve. Fortunately, I knew some of the gas station attendants, and I knew one that the guy was just closing and he was willing to help. It should have signified to me some sort of an omen, but I knew we had to go. And we'd all decided it, and we didn't want to miss my brother's wedding. We were about the only ones who were going to be there. So we head down I-35 to Des Moines. We head down I-35 towards Missouri. And I'm thinking to myself, when I hit Kansas, Missouri, this thing has got to let up. It didn't let up. It got worse and worse and worse. And the wipers are going, and I can barely see the road. We've been driving and driving. It's about 2 in the morning. We get to the Oklahoma Turnpike. The winds are blowing, sometimes gusts between 60 and 90 miles an hour. At least that's what they said on the radio. And the drifts were beginning to, you know, spread across the highway. The wind chill was probably 50 or 60 below. I had no winter coat. I didn't bring any winter boots. I didn't bring a winter hat, nothing like that. I was totally unprepared for this situation. One of the things that was happening was we'd get behind a truck. And these trucks, they're going slow, we're going slow. It wasn't that there were so many people on the highway at this time. It was that every time the truck would hit a snowdrift, I would go white blind. Which means you're just enveloped in white and you can't see anything. It's very freaky. You feel like you're losing all sense of direction. You don't know if you're still going straight, if you're near the truck, if You just don't know. My mother had just come up and sat in the front. And we had to keep going because if we stopped for, 2 hours or three, we just wouldn't make it to the wedding. So I decide I need to get around this truck. Of course, we're on two lanes on each side of the road. We're on a major freeway. So I pull out beside the truck. We're going like 15 miles an hour. And I begin creeping up 18, 20, just as I hit 20. And I'm right beside the truck. The truck, unbeknownst to me, because I couldn't see around him, hits a giant drift. The snow just comes rushing back on my windshield. I cannot see a thing. And I'm thinking to myself, and I got my whole family in here, I'm thinking, hold on to the steering wheel. Don't move left or right. Just go straight. Hold it straight. Next thing my mother does, she screams, says, Mark! The front of the car is beginning to drift under the tires of the trailer. There's a gap between the rear tires and the front tires. We're starting to go there, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? If I turn really fast, we might spin completely around on the highway because the highway was getting covered as well. And all of a sudden, I can't really explain it except something supernatural, but some of you may not believe that. That's up to you. Something, and I don't know what, it was as if something hit the front side of the car, and the car just kind of spun around backwards in the median of the highway, which was completely full of snow. So I've just been driving this way, spun around, my rear end of the car is stuck in the back, and the car is, of course, going the wrong way now on the highway, and I'm stuck there. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, it's 2 in the morning, the wind's howling. That was about the one and only truck we'd seen for a long time. This was before cell phones. And I'm thinking to myself, I may die out here with my children. I'm totally unprepared for this. As I get out of the car and I look at it, and the wheel well is just jam-packed with this wet snow, and it's just, it's tilted in. And then if you know anything about Monte Carlos, or any actual normal car, only one of the rear tires bites. They don't both. That was called posi-traction. Posi-traction is when both tires bite. Most cars, other than a front-wheel drive or four-wheel drive, only one of them. So if one of them's spinning, the other one's just not going to grab. So I'm sitting there, I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And of course, I have a very religious family, and so we thought, I guess we better pray. Because we don't have any other options. It's not like there's a gas station within walking distance, or we can call a tow truck, so we prayed. Said, Lord, I don't think it's our time to die, and I'd rather not die here in the snow and my kids freezing to death. So please help us to get out of this. So my two brothers went back, and of course, they don't have boots on. They have like dress shoes on, and I got to be honest, my faith was, I don't even think it was that big. I'm thinking to myself, I don't think we're getting out of here. So I said, okay, I'll try to drive and I'll try to, give a little gas. But here's what was freaking me out, okay? Not only we were stuck, but I'm going to have to spin around blind on the highway with cars coming head on because we're going the wrong way. So I got in the car and I revved the engine and put it in drive and just gave a little gas, and I can't explain it. We just, boom, and I'm on the other side of the road. Just this surge, and just, boom, we're there. And I'm sitting, and I'm just kind of, what just happened? It's amazing. One of those digests that you read, I think it was by Norman Vincent Peale, where you read about these supernatural things that happen, like people have supernatural strength. I don't know if that's what happened to my brothers or not. All I can tell you is I've been in a lot of snowstorms. I've lived here 15 years, and I have never quite been in snow that bad and buried that deep. And we're out of it. And my heart is racing. I'm just pounding, pounding, pounding in my chest. And you know what I'm wishing to myself? I wish I was not on the road and I was sitting somewhere warm, protected. The kids are tucked in bed. And I don't have to deal with this anymore. Because I'm the one, of course, had to do all the driving. 24 hours to get to Dallas. It was a long, slow drive. About 30 minutes up the road, my heart's still pounding. We found a Hardee's. We pull off the road and we got something. I'm just sitting there. My face is kind of white and I'm thinking to myself, we just could have all died tonight. be honest with you, as scary and unsettling as a blizzard is, life can be more scary. Life can be more frightening. And I remember thinking to myself as that blizzard was going and the winds are howling, and I don't know if this happens. It seemed to happen to me. I don't know if it happens to everyone. But when I got married and had kids, life kind of got a lot more serious. All of a sudden, these kinds of situations aren't like fun and let's laugh and, oh, isn't this a cool adventure? It's like, geez, we could all die in here. I got no food, I got no water, I got no candle to keep us warm. If the car died, you know, all these things run through your mind. And it's a frightening and a freaky experience. Now I want to contrast that for a minute. Have you ever been in one of our Minnesota massive snowstorms? You got about a foot of snow coming down. Just so happens that you're inside watching it, sitting in your favorite chair, laying on your favorite couch, in front of a crackling fire. The refrigerator's stocked. You got plenty of wood. And guess what? School's canceled. Jobs are canceled. No one's supposed to get on the highway. Is that not one of the most exhilarating feelings in the world? It's like so awesome. I got to admit, that's one of the things I look forward to in Minnesota. It happens every once in a while. And we've always had, since I've lived here, a couple fireplaces. I always kept enough wood to have a fire for special occasions or just to have one for the heck of it. And I remember one particular night when we lived in Bloomington and we had this massive snowstorm. We got like 22 inches of wet snow. My driveway at that time would hold 7 cars. We used to shovel it by hand. We had no snow blower or plow. And, of course, that was the downside. Let me just say, that was the non-exhilarating part. But the fun part was just knowing I got logs, I got my loved ones, I've got food. This is great. Nowhere to go. Nobody calling on the phone saying, get over here. Life just stops. And the comfort that you feel and the security and the sense of just calm peace, knowing that I'm here in front of this fire, is an exhilarating feeling. Wouldn't it be awesome if you could experience that during life storms? Think for a moment. Wouldn't it be fantastic if when the difficulties of life come crowding and crashing into your world, you knew there was a place that you could go that would give you that sense of comfort, that sense of peace, that sense of relaxation and rest? As sitting in front of that fireplace, when everything out there is just kind of going to pot, but inside, there's peace. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. One of the reasons, you may wonder this, but one of the reasons that I'm so passionate about the messages that we share here at The Rock is because when I look out at the world, I see a place full of people who are totally unprepared for the blizzards of life. They're cold, they're frightened, they're alone. They've lost their sense of direction. They don't know where to go, they don't know where to turn for help. Some people, you know, to be honest, they fake their way through life. There's a lot of people I've known in my life who just faked. My father was someone who faked his way through life. He was a salesman. He was having a bad day, didn't matter, he'd tell you he was having a good day. He said, how you doing, Myron? Never been better. Never been better. Well, what a liar. I knew he'd been a lot better before. He had a false positive attitude. It was his way of coping until eventually reality got too strong that it basically buried him. It just kind of was like a giant snow pile. He just got underneath of it. He's never quite been able to get out of it. Some people, their coping mechanism is alcohol. Some people, their coping mechanism is eat lots of food. Some people, their coping mechanism is drugs. Some people, their coping mechanism is sex as much as they can get. Some people's coping mechanism is laziness and television until they don't have a mind left. But the bottom line is that when all that's said and done, you're still left cold, afraid, shaking, shivering, without your sense of direction. And it doesn't have to be that way. You see, when things are bleak and the skies are dark and the wind's whipping, there is God. And I want to talk with you about that tonight and how God provides this place of refuge and comfort in our lives. Just listen a moment as I read a few descriptions of life, and I'm going to compare it to the weather. Sometimes life is like a drought. It's hot, it's dry, and it saps all of our strength and energy. God is that cool, refreshing place, that oasis of living water that satisfies the deepest thirst of our soul. Some time ago on my 20th wedding anniversary, my wife and I went to Tucson, Arizona. Never been to Arizona. She hadn't, I hadn't. Never been in a deserty cactus climate. We went to this resort and we didn't rent a car. We just kind of hung out in the resort and we went for a long walk this one particular day to the mountains that are right outside the resort. It's different than the Rocky Mountains. It's different than the Smoky Mountains, which are lush with vegetation and green. These are extremely barren, rocky. There's cactuses, a few here and there. And the heat, though I like the heat and the sun, we walked about 8 miles. I thought we had enough water. I thought we took enough to eat in our little packs. We had to walk partially on the pavement to get to the trails. By the time we got to the trails, my feet were burning from the heat of the pavement. We walked on the trail, we walked, and it was a neat adventure. But when we got ready to turn around, by then we'd run out of water. The last 4 miles, we're walking back with no water. And it was hot. And my tongue, I don't know if you ever had this, started sticking to my mouth. I didn't have any spit left. I tried to swallow. There was nothing to swallow. And I'm thinking to myself, you idiot, you're probably going to get us killed again. You know? And this time it'll take your wife with you. And you're going to leave your kids orphans. I can be a real positive thinker in those kinds of situations. Sometimes I can be that way with life. Life has always been a lot heavier than the mishaps and adventures that I've had out in nature. Life can be so hot. Life can be so dry sometimes, and it leaves you just sapped of all your energy. God is that cool oasis in the desert of life. Now the problem is that a lot of us have never experienced that. It's hard for us to grasp that. But I want you to understand, I'm going to read some things to you this evening to help you understand that God is available to every single one of you. Sometimes life is like a frozen wasteland. It's cold and frigid and harsh, and you're all alone. But God is the warmth and the comfort and the protection we need from the cold. Sometimes life, sometimes relationships, all of a sudden they change. They're fiery hot, and the next thing you know, they're ice cold. And you're feeling like you've just been abandoned, and you've been left all by yourself to face whatever has just been thrown at you. God is that place of warmth. When you think about that fireplace, you think of God. When you think about that comfortable chair, that comfortable couch, the refrigerator stock, you think of God. He's got everything you need already and waiting for you and I when we go through those kinds of difficulties. We've simply got to learn how to tap into God. We've simply got to learn how to transport ourselves into His presence. Sometimes life is like the torrential rain. It's unrelenting. It's depressing and gloomy. And it seems to wash away every hope. I remember one summer in Minnesota. It was my toughest summer here. I'm a sun person. I like the sun. I don't mind the changes of the seasons. Sometimes, if you've noticed, we get more sun in the winter than in the summer. Although this was a good summer. I don't know about you, but this was a good summer. This particular summer was about 5 or 6 ago. We had a pretty nice spring. The sun was shining pretty consistent. It was kind of unusual. And then the middle of May came and started to rain. We thought to ourselves, June's coming, July's coming. It rained in June. Almost every single day. There was hardly any sunshine for the entire month. I remember because I kept track of it. I'm thinking to myself, July. We still have July and August. July came. It rained almost every other day. Why do I know this? Because we lived on an acre of land that takes 3 hours to mow, and it was wet all the time. The basement had flooded. It was wet, and there was humidity and moisture there all the time. Now it's starting to get to me. We're through July, and I'm thinking, August. We got August. And it rained, and it rained, and it rained. The other reason I know, because I like mountain biking. And I never got out once, because I do not like mud. I like trail riding. I don't like mud wrestling. Life is like that sometimes. It just seems like the sky always has clouds in your life. It just seems like the torrential rain is unrelenting and it's just not going to go away. Sometimes it feels like you're going to drown in life. Jesus Christ is the boat that never sinks. He's the constant bright spot, the place of joy and hope in our lives. I'll just be very frank with you. If it were not for my relationship with God and my relationship with Jesus Christ, I simply would not be handling life. I would not be handling it all. How would I handle life? I'd handle it with rage. I'd handle it with malice. I'd handle it with hatred. I'd handle it with all kinds of welling up emotions inside of me, spewing on everybody around me. And I wouldn't have a marriage nor a family. That's how I tend to cope with life without God. Lastly, sometimes life is like a strong wind and it stirs up all the crud and turns everything upside down. It leaves us feeling shaken and unsettled. Christ is the calm in the storm. The winds obey His command. He puts our life back into order and perspective. He calms us. He soothes us and comforts our troubled spirit. I've been through a tornado before. Fortunately, not directly in it. I was driving back with my family again from a conference in Indiana. The only option was to outrun it. And you could see it beginning to come. And it was headed towards the highway. And I must have gone 90, 100 miles an hour. There was no bridges around. I would have got in them. It was get out of here. Get out of here. Lightning was everywhere. It was unbelievable. Life can just kind of swoop down on us sometimes. And it is immense pressure. And it just turns your world all topsy-turvy, inside out, and all mixed up. And you don't know if you're up, you're down, left or right. Christ is that rock of stability, you see, that center in our lives. I want to share with you briefly this evening three truths about God and the refuge that He provides. The first is that God is always ready and willing to help us in our time of need. To be real honest, there's a lot of people that I talk to through the years, and they'll come up to me and say, Mark, I just don't feel worthy of God's help. I do not feel that I can go ask God for anything. There's a lot of people who have trouble asking for help, believe it or not. It's a lot of trouble. Their pride gets in the way. And they think, you know, I just don't want to bother anybody. Then there's the other type of person. They ask all the time. But have you ever been in a situation where you really needed help and you didn't have anybody to call? You know, I've had friends that, now, this will sound funny when I say this. I've known people before I knew them, before I was their friend, who if they would have flown in on the midnight special, they'd have to take a taxi because they have no one to come and get them. No one to call. I have friends now that in years past, if their marriage was going through a difficult season, there was no one to call. I've been over to help young couples, and the wife's sitting on the floor with a knife ready to kill herself. And the husband was beside himself. and didn't know what to do. They knew they had someone they could call. But you know, there's someone far greater than I. His name is God. And the Bible says in Psalm 46, I want to start with this psalm. It says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear, even if earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble and the waters surge. God is our refuge and strength. The Lord Almighty is my fortress. When I was a little kid, my aunts and uncle, they lived in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. They had a bomb shelter in their basement. That was back in the days. I went through the period where we used to hide under our desks in school as we prepared for nuclear war or all-out war. And my aunt and uncle, they had the money to have a bomb shelter built in their basement. It was always so cool going there when we go over there because it's like nobody could find you. And as kids, we'd go down there and hide. No windows, it's way down in the earth. God is that to you and I. 15 years ago, when I moved here, about a year into me being here, a brand new pastor, Brent and I decided to start a new church. And we had about 120 people who we were leading and pastoring. And we were deciding to start doing church in a brand new way. We were going to change our name, and we were going to start off fresh. We were going to move from 46th Street down to Bloomington. So we began sharing this with the church and describing to them what we wanted to do and why we wanted to do it. And lo and behold, out of the 120, including kids, 40 decided to leave all the same weekend. They said, no way, we think you guys are wrong. We think you're leading us all in the wrong way. They started telling other people, and then they left. It was one of the most, at that time in my life, unsettling things that ever happened to me. We felt all of a sudden totally abandoned. Not to mention the fact that they were also supporters. And they're gone. And in the midst of them leaving, we were taking this huge step of faith. Our rent at Regina was $300 a month. Our rent at Oak Grove was going to be $3,000 a month. That's a little unsettling. And I went to this verse. And I went to my alone place, which is at Fort Snelling, in this giant shelter there with these giant castle doors that I would go in alone and ram wood under so no one else could get in. And they stock it with wood. And I would build a big fire and I would meet with God. And I'd just start walking around back and forth, talking to God, crying, pouring out my soul to God. And every single time, God was just where He said He'd be. Right there, ready and available, and gave us all the strength we needed through all the 15 years of storms and blizzards that we've had in the business of doing church. God will never, ever turn His back on you. You see, no matter where we are in life or what we're going through, God will be there for you. He's never too busy or distracted or disinterested. He's ready to give you shelter and help anytime. My father's not been willing to give me help anytime. My father, you know, a lot of you in this room, I know for a fact, have been abandoned. You may not call it that. Some call it divorce. Divorce usually turns into the abandonment by one of the parents. And you know, it might be your teen years when you really needed a father. Or you really needed your mother to be together and they weren't because of what happened. And you had to face it alone. You never have to face life alone ever, ever again. No matter what anyone in this room does or doesn't do, you never have to face life alone again. God is right there at a moment's notice and you don't need a cell phone to get Him. And you don't have to be a big shot and important to make an appointment to get in to see Him. You can be in the bathroom, you can be in the shower, you can be in the bedroom, you can be in your car. You can be outside. You can be in a cellar. You can be in the deepest ocean, the farthest part of the moon, if you could get there. And God would be there, ready and willing to help you. Second truth you need to understand about God is that the refuge He provides is completely safe and impenetrable. Now, why is that relevant? It's relevant because of what just happened. There is no place in the world. I hate to break the news to you, but I'm going to tonight. I don't want to shock you, but I want you to understand how uncertain this life is. There is no place safe from a terrorist. There is no place safe from loony bins. Timothy McVeigh did not come from the Middle East. If someone decides they want to get in their car, and as we're leaving tonight, they want to drive it into a crowd, who's going to stop them? Not the World Trade Center, not the Mall of America, and not your home. There is no place that is completely safe and impenetrable. Now, there are some places that are safer than others. But there is no place that is completely impenetrable. He is a rock of refuge to you and I. You see, if I could just share this with you, and I know this may not seem like it relates, but the outside of you and I, even though I know most of you feel very young here tonight, you're born and you're in the process of dying. Your body, each and every day, though the cells renew and we have this wonderful body that God gave us, nonetheless, it is decaying. Your teeth are decaying. Your bones are decaying. Your skin, your organisms are getting the wear and tear of life. So one way or the other, we're all going to die. That's not what's important. What's important is the power and the strength that you have on the inside, because the inside of you is not going to die. And that's the real you. The inside of you is not going to die. If you know Christ, you're going to live eternally with Him. And in the meantime, though they may attack our body, though they may change our way of life, they can never change my inner life. Because it gets richer and richer and richer with the passing of time. As you and I learn to develop our relationship with God. Listen to the psalmist, who, by the way, was from the Middle East. And by the way, much of his life was spent at war, with armies chasing him down. I love you, Lord. You're my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my Savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the strength of my salvation, and my stronghold. I will call on the Lord who is worthy of praise, for He saves me from my enemies. The ropes of death surrounded me. The floods of destruction swept over me. The grave wrapped its ropes around me. Death itself stared me in the face. But in my distress, I cried out to God. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. My heart, He heard me. My cry reached His ears. God hears. God listens. And this man was talking about the arena of life. This man was a little bit like David was a little bit like William Wallace. War was the same in William Wallace's day as in David's day. And David was abandoned, just like William Wallace was abandoned and betrayed. But David had a strength that came from God. And God was his rock, his place of absolute impenetrable strength. And God wants to do the same with you. In Psalm 144, David writes, "Bless the Lord, who is my rock. He gives me strength for war and skill for battle. He is my loving ally and my fortress, my tower of safety, my deliverer. He stands before me as a shield, and I take refuge in Him. He subdues nations under me." If you ever get a chance to rent the movie The Hiding Place or read the book The Hiding Place, you read about two women named Corey and Betsy Ten Boom who hid Jews during the Nazi occupation of Holland. The Jews were discovered and they were thrown into concentration camps, as well as their family, and the family all died there. They were beaten. They were infested with lice. And in the midst of that concentration camp, with the most unspeakable horror, they shared the love of God with the other prisoners and with their captors. Betsy was eventually killed by the brutality. She was Corey's best friend in the world. Corey spent the rest of the years in the concentration camp. She was there alone. She did not cave in. She did not have a nervous breakdown. She did not fall apart. Do you know why? Because though they may attack the body, the inside can find a place, a hiding place that no one can touch. And that place is God Himself, who will be with you and strengthen you through every dark time. Eventually, she was released. She went back years after her release and shared Christ with the very guards who had beaten and killed her sister. You see, with God, nothing is impossible. God Himself is our protection during a storm. He does not provide some flimsy shelter from the wind. He doesn't provide some leaky roof protection. God provides us a place that is safe and secure. And lastly, the refuge God provides is totally rejuvenating and renews our spirit for living. There's a lot of people today going to these spas, and they pamper their body. They get a rug down, they get the steam room, they get the mud bath, they get the aromatherapy. I have a friend, whenever he gets stressed, he goes to a cabin on a lake. Maybe some of you have done that. And of course, it's rejuvenating when you go there. But you know something more rejuvenating is God Himself. That's why David said in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside quiet waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my insides." And that's what God does. You see, that's how we cope with life. That is the best coping mechanism with the storms of life, is your relationship with God. As you learn to open this book yourself and read it and find the comfort that is here. This book has comforted kings. It has comforted presidents. This book comforted Abraham Lincoln during the most terrible time in our nation's history. When his wife basically went loony, his son, whom he loved, died, and the nation was at war with itself. And many in the nation wanted him dead. And eventually they did take his life. His strength, if you read his letters, was in here, was in God. Men and women, there are people out there in life who have faced storms 1,000 times greater than you and I, and they made it standing tall with fresh strength and encouragement because they knew God. And they learned to go talk to God, and they learned to go unload their burdens to God. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weighted down with burdens and are weary and tired, and I will give you rest." That's what you find when you embrace Christ and you allow Christ to embrace you. That's what you find when, instead of sitting and vegging in front of the television or reading a whole box of Hostess Ho-Hos or smoking till you're coughing your lungs out because you're so much under stress. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with ding-dongs or TV or smoking, if that's what you choose to do. What I'm telling you is that America is a nation of overindulgence. And do you know why? Because indulgence is our coping mechanism to stress. God wants to change that for you. He wants to fill you with vitality. Next week, I'm going to end this series, and I'm going to share with you probably the single most important decision that I made in my life that has changed the way the storms of life affect me. I'd like to invite you back next week, and I'd like to invite you downstairs. Love to meet you. We got free food, free drinks. Love to meet you after the service downstairs. Let's pray.